Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Thank you for the kind words, Pastor Spencer. I honestly would like to start by honoring the Lord. This is why we're here tonight. Anytime I have the privilege to preach, I always try to honor the pastors of the house. But before I do that, I always want to honor the Lord because He's the only reason that we're here. He's the only reason that I'm standing here holding a microphone tonight. And I'm so humbled and honored that I would have this opportunity. I do want to honor our pastors. Thank you guys so much for this opportunity, for loving me and my family from the very beginning. And then I would also be very mistaken if I didn't thank all of you as a church family for welcoming us with open arms the way that you have. You can imagine moving 6 hours from home, no grandparents to help with the kids. Y'all have been so wonderful and loving, and we're so appreciative. Oftentimes we leave this house and we just have conversations on the way home talking about how well you people love, no pun intended. But how well that you love and just how honored we are to be a part of what God's doing here. With that being said, I'm going to get into the Word of God tonight. Who's ready for the Word of God? Yeah. Amen. The title tonight of my message is Growth in Darkness. And I feel like this is a very important word for this house. This is what I do for a living. And so I don't take any of this lightly. I don't take anywhere I go. It doesn't matter if it's to two young people. Some of the greatest moves of God I've seen in the smallest amounts of people in numbers wise. Why is that? Because there's often a hunger for God. You know, it's just a reality that there's less people normally on Wednesday nights than there are on Sunday mornings. So what God's going to do in this house, I believe that He's doing it foundationally with this core group of believers, and I believe that this word is for us tonight. If you would just stand with me for the reading of God's word, I'm not going to keep you standing very long. My opening text is going to be Genesis chapter 1. Everybody should be able to find that one pretty easy. We don't preach out of Genesis 1 as much anymore. We're going to read the first five verses. We're going back to the basics and the foundational aspects of our foundation tonight. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void and darkness." Somebody say darkness. "Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." Now flip over to Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. This is ultimately where we'll end up tonight. It might take me a little bit of time to get there, but that'll be okay. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27 says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Hallelujah. Help me pray tonight. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, God, for this opportunity, Lord. God, I just ask you, Lord, that every word that comes out of my mouth tonight would be anointed. God, that every word would be simply your words. God, let none of it be my opinion, Lord, but God, let it just be what you desire to say in this house tonight. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and glory. In your name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Growth in darkness tonight. Now, I want to start by saying the darkness that I'm going to preach about is much different than the kingdom of darkness that we know of and that we often hear about and that we preach about. Listen, I'm not here to preach about the darkness of the separation of sin between you and I from God. I'm here to talk about the unknown, the uncommon, and the uncertain places that you and I are destined to walk as Christians. You see, Psalms 119, 105, it's a very common verse. It says, what does it say? It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I don't know about you, but I don't use a flashlight when it's sunny outside. I don't use a lamp when it's the bald sun shines out at noon. It's going, that right there tells us that you and I as believers and walking in this walk of faith with Christ, that we are going to go through difficult and dark times where all we have to stand on is the word of God. All we have to stand on is the promises of God. So let that be understood tonight. I'm not here to talk about the darkness of sin. Maybe you are separated from the love of Christ. I've got the answer for you. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. But once you've accepted that light, and now you walk in the light, I've come to remind you that just as there's a day, there's also a night. And you and I are going to find, listen, I have found in my time with Christ, I've been serving God since I was 8 years old, I have found that more times than not, I've spent a lot of time in the darkness. A lot of times of uncertainty and unknown. But I want to start with my first point tonight. And it's simply this, that our God reigns over all things and he is the owner of darkness. Now, a lot of times when we preach from our pulpits, we come against the powers of darkness, but we've almost relegated darkness over to Satan. Satan does not own the darkness. It's simply where he chooses to operate. Listen, he cannot operate in the light. Why? Because he's an angel of light. He's a counterfeit. Satan has never once created anything. He is no creator. He has never created anything of original content. All he does is manipulate. He is a master manipulator. So oftentimes when we find ourselves in these areas of darkness and this uncertainty and this uncommon place, he comes in and he distracts us. Why? Because he is a manipulator of your circumstances. But I've come to remind you tonight at the well Fort Payne that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if he said that, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's the same forever. And I just want you to get that in your spirit tonight, that Satan does not own the darkness. Listen, I take a beating from him all the time. That's why when I get this opportunity to preach, I never want to give him credit. He deserves no credit. He was cast down from Satan, a prideful fool. He's going to be cast out into eternal darkness. Jesus spoke in the parable. He talked about the unprofitable servant being cast into the outer darkness. Who's doing the casting? Oh, the master. The master of the universe, the one who created it all, the one who stands as judge over all. Satan didn't create hell. He didn't choose that's where he was going to go. God's the one that created it. God's going to be the one that sends him there. He just operates. He manipulates. That's what he does. That's who he is. But I want to draw your attention to verse 5 of Genesis chapter 1. We have to understand here that God called the light day. A capital D, that means that he gave it a name. And the darkness he called night with a capital N. I want to tell you tonight that if you name something, you're the one who owns it. Oh, come on now. Oh, come on. I wish somebody could start to understand and feel what I'm saying tonight. When God named the darkness, he told everything from the beginning in Genesis 1 to where we're standing at in 2023 that I own even the darkness. The second verse of the Bible, we read about darkness and not light. Why is that? Because there's an emphasis there that he wants us to understand, that he is the creator and that he owns it all. Psalms 139, verses 11 and 12, it says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the night are both alike to you. Friend, I've come to tell you tonight that no matter where you're walking, whether it's in the light or whether it's in the dark, that Jesus knows right where you're at. The darkness that you and I face, not understanding where we're going or how we're going to get there, how the ends are going to meet or what God's going to do with my life, all of that is in his control. He sees right where you are. He knows right where he's leading you. And though we may not see it or understand it, he is in control. God sees you where you are and where you're going, even if you can't. So that's just a brief rundown. I just wanted to let that be the foundation of where we started tonight, that our God still owns the darkness. He is still in control of everything. His eyes look on the wicked and the just. He knows you when you lived in sin, and you better believe he knows you as you're his child. My second point tonight, I'm going to try not to keep you very long, Darkness is not a place of inactivity, but rather it's a showcase of God's creativity. I'm going to say that again. Darkness is not a place of inactivity, but rather a showcase of God's creativity. I just want to just point out what we read in Genesis chapter 1. We read this in Sunday school. We often bypass it as we mature in Christ, but let's go back and look at that. It says that the creation of the heavens and earth occurred in darkness. The creation of all the heavens and the earth happened in darkness. There was no light yet. Why? Because God hadn't spoken into existence yet. So everything that we know in its general form, the heavens and the earth, were created in the darkness. But not only that, was darkness was on the face of the deep, but it didn't end there. It said the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Can I tell you tonight that just as God hovered over his new creation, he hovers over you in the dark as well. Just as he hovered over that new creation that he had just spoken into existence, he hovered over the face of something new. And I've come to tell you tonight that you may be in a new place, in a new season, with darkness all around you, but the Spirit of God is hovering over you. Why is that? Because the hovering is your covering. You may not feel him. You may not understand it. You may not feel his touch. You may not hear his voice yet, but I can tell you that he is hovering over you. Why? Because he loves you and you are his child. The hovering is the covering. The Spirit of God hovered over this new creation, and he still hovers over us as he does and forms new things in your spiritual life. He hovers over us. He knows us before the womb. But it's in the darkness of the womb that he forms and fashions us. He told Jeremiah, he said, before the foundations of the world, I knew you and set you apart. But it was in the womb that he formed us and he fashioned us. The darkness of the womb. The womb is not a place of exuberant light. Just a small, minuscule amount of light comes in that womb. But it said that God forms us and he fashions us there. Psalm 139, 13 and 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. That you could also say you hovered over me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. You know why? Because the dark is the same as light to him. When I was made in secret, in those dark places, in that dark womb, I don't know about you, but there have been a lot of things that's been birthed in my spiritual life that was in a dark, dark time. And I looked back and I could say, God, this new work that you did, I saw your hand in it. You covered me in that womb. You covered me when I didn't know where I was at. You covered me when I was just a small substance of nothingness in most people's eyes. You skillfully wrought me in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. It was by the design and the creativity of God that we also look at the plant world, and we see that plants, they grow their greatest amount at night. Have you ever just looked at a crop field and thought to yourself, my goodness, those things shot up overnight. Guess what? They really did. They really did. The absence of light, listen to this. The absence of light is what actually stimulates that plant to grow the most. Just to keep it basic, I'm no science or biology major, but the process of photosynthesis, that plant retains sunlight and it stores it and it holds it. Because why? It knows the night is coming. It knows that that source of life is going to go away for a period of time. And that plant stores that energy and it holds it in. But let me tell you this, that God will never send you into a season of darkness without first properly providing what you need to make it through. Oh, come on now. He'll never send you into a new season of darkness without first providing what you need to make it through. That plant retains the sunlight. Why? To make it through the night. It holds it in. A team of biologists, this is amazing, from Salk Institution of Biological Studies, UC San Diego University, and Oregon State University, they conducted a study that literally concluded that plants see their quickest growth spurt in the darkness just before dawn. They grow the most in the darkness just before the dawn. You know why this is because this is caused by the plant's intense search for light. And the result is a stretching that surpasses its growth during any other part of the day. Friend, can I tell you tonight that the reason that God is taking you into dark seasons and dark places is because he's trying to stretch you. He's trying to grow you. He's trying to say, listen, I gave you what you needed in the light. Now come on in the darkness so I can stretch you a little more. Come on in the darkness so I can grow you a little more. We need not be afraid. He's brought you there for a reason, and it's to grow, to stretch you, and to advance his kingdom of God. The stretching is always there. And I've come to ask you tonight, when's the last time you were stretched? Listen, I know it's Wednesday night, but my job is to preach a Sunday morning message. It doesn't matter what night of the week it is. Listen, I don't know if I'm going to be preaching on a Tuesday night or a Saturday morning. I don't know. But all I have to do is be prepared and ask you and challenge you. That's what the gift of the evangelist does. To challenge you. When's the last time you were willing to go to a dark place? When's the last time we were willing to walk in the faith that it takes to go into something uncommon, to go into something uncertain, to let God stretch you and pull you? When's the last time that you had to stretch for the light because it was the darkest hour before dawn? I know I'm a young man, but I've come to know that it's in the darkness that messages like this are born. I can't do what God's called me to do without being willing to go into the darkness. And if this church, the Well Fort Payne, is going to be all that God designs it to be, you and I are going to walk together in dark times. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing to do it. My third point tonight. Darkness produces fresh revelation, and it gives an opportunity for elevation. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. I know we read it in the New King James, but I want to read it in the Amplified tonight. I don't know if you have that back there. There we go. I love this version of the Bible at times because it expounds on what's really being said. I love to cross-reference different translations just to grasp the clarity and the fullness of what God's trying to say. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. In the Amplified version, it says, "What I say to you in the dark, privately, tell it in the light publicly. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the housetops." And the version that I have has in parentheses, "to many people." Proclaim it from the housetops to many people. We love that version. We love to hear the many people and the housetops. But I've come to remind you that there's a first part of that verse before you ever experience the housetop. What you hear whispered in the ear, that comes from the dark place and the private times. We love to be in the light. We love to have the microphone. We love to have the platform. But without the private time, the lonely time with God, we never experience the housetop. Darkness will prove to be a private and lonely place, but it's for good reason. We are often led into times of darkness to receive a fresh revelation from Christ. In our natural bodies, the way that God made you and I, if your eyes and your ears are open, your brain is simultaneously trying to take in everything that there is to take in. And because of that, oftentimes it's said that our hearing suffers. But when you close your eyes, anybody ever been laying in bed at night and you hear a strange noise? It's pitch black dark in your house, and all of a sudden you hear a noise you wouldn't have heard if you had the TV on. You hear a noise that you wouldn't have heard if you were laying there looking at your phone. You hear that noise. Listen, I love to turkey hunt. My brother-in-law and I, we typically go on a trip every year. And about 4 years ago, we were in New Mexico. Now, it's mountainous country out there. And there happens, we made the mistake of looking up what could possibly kill us while we're there. So we look up what could possibly be out there that could kill us. And mountain lion was like number one. So we had really had a rough trip. It was a hard trip. And we decided we had hunted together the whole time because turkey hunting is just a lot funner with somebody else. But it was down to the last day. We had spent all the money. It was bottom of the ninth. We had to just go for a Hail Mary. I know that's a baseball and football reference, but I like both sports. So we go and we do this. And we say, well, we'll get to the top of this mountain. Climbed it before daylight. It about killed us. We're not hill country people. We're flatland boys from Florida. And those are mountains that they make these look like babies out there. So we climbed to the top of this mountain. We're like, listen, we'll split up. We had no cell phone service. We're like, we'll split up. We'll meet back at 10 o'clock. Nothing happens. We're just going to go back to the cabin. I like to just walk with no flashlight because I don't want to scare the turkeys away. But every step that I took, it was like, I mean, it was dark, dark, you know, where you can like see the darkness. And I'm walking down the side of this old logging trail in this mountain, and I get to where I wanted to stop and listen for turkeys, and I had probably a good 30 minutes of darkness left before daylight. And I'm sitting there, no lights, and I start thinking about mountain lions. And I'm sitting there, and up top there's like this little mound of like sand. And I'm sitting there in the darkness, and all of a sudden I hear like little pebbles rolling down that hill. And I stood there, and I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. I did all the Pentecostal things. But the longer I sat there, the more I could hear every single pebble rolling down that hill. And all I could picture was some old mountain lion crouched there, ready to jump on me. Nobody would know where I was at. My brother-in-law, we didn't have cell phone service. But I know that's a funny thing to say, but the reality of it is that you and I hear better when it's dark. And that God will take you and I into dark places so that he can remove what we see. He'll remove what we see so that he can open up and tune our ears into Christ. Because oftentimes what we see hinders what we can hear. What we see hinders what we're able to hear. And there's oftentimes that Christ has a new revelation of what he is, a new revelation of who he can be to us, but all we can see is our circumstances. All we can see is the promises. All we can see is the platforms. All we can see is the microphones. Come on now. And Jesus is saying, I can't take you there until you hear what I want you to hear. I can't take you there to the housetop if you don't go through the private times with me. Though these times are often experienced in privacy, listen to me, church, they will always benefit others publicly. Your experience in the darkness with God, nobody's going to be there. It's going to be lonely. It's going to be sometimes miserable. You're going to be saying, God, get me out of here. God, why are you doing this to me? But guess what? When you get out on the other side, when you get out on the other side, there are people who are waiting to hear what you have to say. There are people in DeKalb County waiting for this church to come out of darkness and say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about the struggles I've overcome. Let me tell you about what he's done in my life. It's not just this county. It's the whole world. Christ died to save the world. It's often in these low places of darkness we find ourselves in an elevated position indicated in that verse in Matthew chapter 10, 27. Listen, you don't just get to a housetop from the ground. Yeah. Housetops mean that you're in an elevated position. You're not standing on the ground anymore. You're not in that low place with Christ anymore. He's now brought you to the housetop. But we have to go through the lowness. Listen, there's no greater example of this than Jesus himself. I pray I never preach a message without talking about Jesus. He's the lover of my soul. He saved me when I was a young boy filled me with the Holy Ghost when I was 11. He's asked me to do things I thought would kill me. But you know what I found? I found him to be faithful. I found him to be true. He's perfect. He's holy. He's lovely. And I love him with all my heart. But I've walked through some dark times. And I want to just point out with Christ. Listen, we often view the cross as Christ's most difficult time. I would rival that tonight and say that the Garden of Gethsemane was Christ's darkest hour. He went there to pray to God. He said, God, Father, if this cup is willing to pass from me, let it be. His sweat became his blood. He agonized and just writhing. Can you imagine? You're about to go hang brutally on a cross. You're going to be mocked, embarrassed. Publicly, they're going to strip you of all your dignity. And he's laying there in that garden in the darkness of night. And he's saying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. We all know the story, I hope, but they come and they take him in that garden. In that darkness, they take him. But you know what happened? They didn't hang him in some valley. They marched him up a hill. Oh, come on now. They marched him up a hill, and the enemy of our soul was stupid enough to hang him up on a cross. Listen now, they elevated our Savior. What he spoke in the garden, he said, God, not my will, but your will be done. When they elevated him on that cross, what did he say as his last breath? He said, it is finished, and those words still ring true today. He went from the lowest place of his life to an elevated position. Listen, there are times that your enemy may be the one who elevates you, but all you have to do is say, it is finished. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. Oh, but they weren't done there. They figured, well, we're going to bury him in a dark, cold grave. Oh, but he wasn't idle there either. He went on down to hell, and he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And you know what happened? He came out of that darkness. He rose to the Father and sat down at the right hand of God. He went from a dark place to another elevated place. And that's what he wants to do with you and I. He wants to take you from low, dark places and elevate you to where he wants you to be. He said, it is finished. Those words still ring true to every saint who accepts him today. Every soul who comes to him. Listen, there's lost people right now that are going to come to this house and they're going to be saved. You know what they're going to hear? They're going to hear, it is finished. It is finished. But if Christ, it happened to him, it's going to happen to you and I. He went through everything to lay the blueprint for us to live our lives. Listen, I remember when God gave me that, it just blew my mind. It blew my mind. The darkness of Gethsemane, a literal night, but more than that, it was spiritual death to himself. He died a spiritual death before he ever died a physical death. He said, Father, if it's possible, a perfect man who knew no sin was about to go die and hang on a cross for a lost and dying world who the majority would reject him. But he died on a hill. Sister Marley, he died on a hill. Satan himself elevated him for the whole world to see on a cross. You hang from a cross above the ground. He literally hung there as the sacrifice of the world. And he sat there and his last words were, it is finished. Now listen, I wish I could have known the dialogue between the Father and the Son in Gethsemane. All we know is just a handful of words that Jesus said. I've pretty much uttered all that we know from Gethsemane. But in my heart of hearts, in my heart of hearts, I want to believe that the Father spoke to him and said, it's finished. Jesus hung on that cross out of his lowest, darkest place, and he said, it's finished. Where did he get that? In that garden. He knew in himself it's finished, and that's what he proclaimed from that cross. Listen, I was here a couple Sunday nights ago when Pastor Greg was here for the dedication of this building, and I heard all the things that he said about prophesying that there would be growth and that people would be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I am 100% behind that. When he said that, it was just leaping up inside of me. I could feel it. I know it's coming. But listen, that verse, the amplified version of that Matthew chapter 10, it said this. It said that they're going to take you to the housetops for what? To reach many people. And God has simply sent me here to challenge us as a church that how many people we're going to reach is going to be dependent on how willing we are to go through dark times. Listen, we love to hear the good things. We love to hear of the full houses. We love to hear of expansion and souls saved. But listen, we can fall short of that. We can experience something lesser than what God has for this house. Listen, I'm just a guy from Florida. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. Listen, when I showed up here, I will say this, there was no stage. But I wasn't here. I wasn't here when you were setting up and breaking down in an auditorium. I wasn't here when you were sending out text messages. Look, we don't know where we're having church tomorrow. You know what those are? Those are dark times. Those are not easy times. Those are uncertain times. Those are uncommon times. Most churches don't have to deal with that. But look now, we have a beautiful facility, a beautiful stage, a beautiful drum cage, but it doesn't stop here. It doesn't end here. Listen, what you see tonight in me is not just a culmination of where I'm at right now. You weren't there in the dark times. I had to lock the door on a dream home on 10 acres and say, God, you can have it. He asked me to sell it. We just built it 2 years ago. Nobody was there when my wife was laying there in 1,000 pieces, crying herself to sleep at night. Something crazy had happened to us. Nobody else was there in that moment. Any small ounce of anointing that you see, anything that you hear out of this message, listen, it was birthed out of darkness. I've been through hard times. Listen, you as individuals have all been through hard times. But don't stop now. Don't stop now. Souls are depending on it. Souls are waiting to hear what you say from the housetops. Souls are waiting for you to come out the other side of darkness where you've stretched and you've grown towards the light. They want to know what God has to say from you. The biggest fallacy that we have is that if you don't hold a microphone, you don't matter. And that is the biggest lie. It plagues the church. People believe, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't preach. I don't sing. I don't have anything to say. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Listen, this church, I feel it. I feel it in my bones right now. This church is going to be a beacon of light to a dark, dark county. But it depends on you going through the darkness first. Can I get somebody to play some music or just play it over the speakers? I should have talked to somebody about this. Listen, I know it's Wednesday night. I know it's Wednesday night. But we have got to obey God tonight. Listen, you know what kills revival? I might preach a message on this eventually. Logic and convenience kill revival. Listen, we're willing to get up early and go give 40 plus hours a week to a carnal job. I did it for 12 years. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to walk in that place. But my God, what if we started giving God a little more? What if we were able to say on a Wednesday night, God, I want to come spend some time with you. Would you stand with me tonight? Listen, I'm not going to belabor this. I don't like giving altar calls and begging for a response. But tonight I feel it's necessary that we as a church come before God once again and say, God, take me to the dark places. God, take me to those places that are uncomfortable. They're uncommon. They're uncertain. I can't see where I'm going. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know what the path is. Listen to me, friend, brother, sister. He knows. He knows. He sees you in the light just as he does in the dark. It's all the same to him. He's the one that created it. He owns it. We should trust him in those times. But greater than that, there's a message that's to be birthed out of you as Christians, as believers of this gospel, this follower that you claim to be of Christ. I just want to ask you tonight, maybe you're in that dark place. Maybe this gave you some revelation as to where you're at. Maybe you've been enjoying a little bit too much sunlight. Too much sun can kill a plant. Too much sunlight can kill a plant. It can wither it. It needs the darkness. It needs the unknown. It needs to be stretched. It needs to reach out just before dawn. Tonight, that's all I'm asking you. If that's you tonight, listen, church, if you really want to make a difference in this community, they're not just going to come to you just because they want to come. They're going to come because they know there's something here. They're going to run into you at the supermarket, at the farmer's market. They're going to run into you at Walmart. They're going to run into you at the gas station. They're going to see a glimmer of light in you. Why? Because you've come out the other side. You'll have a good word to speak at the right time. Just want to ask you tonight, be willing to come down to this altar and ask God, God, take me to the dark places. Take me to the dark places, Jesus. That's you tonight. I just want you to come. I know it's Wednesday night. Listen, I'm not going to lay my hands and pray for you. There's no power in my hands. There's power in the name of Jesus, though. And it's time that we as a church begin to believe again that there's a work to be done. That we can go through this dark time. That Christ, he'll never leave us or forsake us. I know this is a sobering word. It's a Wednesday night. This is so pivotal for this house. I feel it so strongly. I struggled finding direction on how this actually fit to this house, and it just followed in with what Pastor Greg spoke. I believe it with every fiber of my being. They're coming. They're coming. But how many of them come will depend on us going through the darkness. It'll depend on what we have to say on the other side. Listen, just pour your heart out to Jesus tonight. Just pour your heart out to him. It'll be okay to tarry for a little while. It'll be okay just to ask him, to plead with him. You'll find that he's faithful and he's gentle and he's kind. More than that, you'll find a message on the other side, and you'll find the right person at the right time to share that message with, and we'll see this house grow. We'll see this house expand. We'll see it explode with life. It's up to you as an individual to go through the private times. I just want to encourage you. I'm about to set this microphone down. Just spend some time with God tonight. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Just let him do the work tonight. Be honest with him. Be honest with him. Thank you so much for your attentiveness. But now it's time to get real with God. Don't say it if you don't mean it, because if you ask him, he's going to do it.